Hello, and welcome to The Truth About Markets right here on Resonance 104.4 FM in London. I am Stacey Herbert, and I am here with a special guest.
Yeah, hi. It's Max Kaiser. Hello.
Okay, I guess it wasn't that special of a guest.
No. Well, we're talking about French people, and, you know, it's an interesting culture here. I guess we were talking about the suicides in Foxconn factory versus the suicides of France Telecom, Stacey. And also, I believe you were saying that the French people look very curiously at your muff microphone versus other countries. That might be interesting, too, to talk about.
Yes, let's talk about these two matters. First, as you mentioned, the muff, we will have to get that out of the way because people are probably very confused. Many taxi drivers are driving off the road and maybe crashing. We don't want to cause that. So what happens is right now I'm recording this on a Zoom H4N audio recorder. And it's a pretty wild-looking contraption. Now, anytime I go to the U.S., not one single, security checkpoint has even stopped to ask me what that is. When we've been to Spain or Sweden or blah, 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 never. It goes through the security checkpoint with no problem. Every time in France, they stop and just stare at it for the longest time, hold it in their hands, look it over, like, so curiously until inevitably they say, what is this? Actually, two guys were laughing once and said, is this a taser? And I said, yeah, it's a taser. And they just laughed and put it back in my bag.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so anyway, they are always very spellbound by this contraption. Anyway.
Yeah, well, you're leaving out the reason why. You're leaving out the windscreen.
Oh.
Looks like a muff.
You think that's it? It's not just the, you know, the shape of the whole contraption?
No, because it reminds a lot of these French guys of their wives. Because in France, women don't shave like they do in the States or elsewhere else. They get those Brazilian waxes. Here in France, the women have big hairy clams. And the guy going through the airport, he looks at that and goes, oh my God, what happened to my wife?
Oh, Max. Well, okay. Now, we'll talk about the other issue because it's become a big issue about this Foxconn and the suicides there. Now, as the number I've seen is 17 suicides at Foxconn. And now we've been having a problem again with the last 2 days of our internet. And the problem is that there are several internet service providers in France, but all internet access roads go through France Telecom, okay? Any internet service provider has to use France Telecom lines. So often what you'll have is, and I kid you not, up to 4 or 5 months we've gone with having a service that we're paying for because of the contract, but there's no internet access because for the life of you, you cannot get the France Telecom workers to come out and fix the line. The problem is on the line. Mm-hmm. So it made me, just thinking of France Telecom, as I have for the last 2 days, it made me realize, you know, there was the huge wave of France Telecom suicides as well. So I was looking it up. Of course, I had to use my iPhone because the 3G and the satellite, you know, internet is okay because it doesn't have to go through France Telecom. And
I can use my iPhone?
You can use your iPhone.
I bought one of these for Christmas, and I've never used it yet.
Yeah, but now you have to pay for credit because I haven't paid for credit because you don't ever use it.
All right, we'll get
to that. So I looked it up, and sure enough, in 2010, 23 France Telecom workers committed suicide. And in 2008 and 2009, 30. So I don't know if, I couldn't tell from the Guardian article whether it was 30 each year or 30 between the 2 years of 2008 and 2009. So anyway, that's at least 53 workers. And the article itself was chronicling the at least half a dozen that had killed themselves in 2011. So, you know, that's close to 60 workers, many of them on site. They would jump out of the window at a France Telecom office, or they would, one guy burned himself, lit himself on fire in the France Telecom parking lot. So, again, there is a kind of dual standard. It's interesting. You know, Americans don't seem to care about the police state in their own country, but God forbid there's a police state somewhere else that we must send our own police state troops to go stop that police state from being more police state than our police state. And they're very angry with the Foxconn suicides. But what about the France Telecom suicides? France Telecom is the biggest internet service provider in all of Europe.
Right. Well, you know, I think it's very interesting because the Foxconn workers live in conditions that by American prison standards would be considered terrible. They live in a prison and they work for slave wages and they commit suicide. But here's a country like France where the suicide rate at France Telecom is 3, 4, 5 times higher. These are people who get 4 or 5 years a year in vacation.
4 or 5 weeks.
4 or 5 weeks a year in vacation, full benefits, full health, full education. They are totally comforted by the state. They effectively, somebody stole their stapler, so they're going to commit suicide. So they're drama queens, and they'll commit suicide at the drop of a hat. The reason they're committing suicide at France Telecom is because they had to move their desk. And they can't deal with the stress. It's an existential crisis, so they kill themselves. Versus China, which people are working as slaves in the worst hard conditions for $17 a day. And eventually some of them kill themselves, of the 800,000 people crammed into a chicken coop making iPhones or iPads. So this is why China, you know, is becoming a huge superpower. Because imagine, you know, the Chinese people, if you put them into a France Telecom role and said, your job is to make the internet work here in this country, they would get it to work. In France, they're like, ugh, I can't be bothered to get your service working. I'm going to kill myself instead. And also, that's a very passive-aggressive thing in France, is that they'd rather kill themselves than give you service. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see this everywhere in France. The service is so horrible because the person who's supposed to be giving you that service is so contemptuous of the idea of providing service that they'd rather kill themselves.
Well, to be quite honest, I'd rather kill myself than have to actually even call France Telecom to try to get this sorted out. The last time I did it, that I had to do that, they put me on hold. Again, you can see this on Twitter somewhere. I was tweeting this. I was on hold for 3 hours. And there's no, you know, in many countries, there's a legal cap on how much these companies can charge you for being on hold. Well, there's no cap. And it was something like 50 euros for the phone call because it's not like a normal, it's a higher rate. Mm-hmm. So it was a 50 euro phone call. And finally, some guy came on, and yeah, he did seem like he was going to commit suicide based on our problem.
Down in the south of France, I had my phone hooked up. It was auto-debited to my bank credit debit card, French bank debit card. I moved. A couple of months later, I said, oh, I got to get rid of this phone charge because I'm on a different system. Okay, they wouldn't get rid of it. This went on for more than 2 years. I canceled the credit card. They found a new one and kept charging me because they said that I couldn't remember the phone number, but they had the charge there every single month. And I said, well, this is the charge. This is the charge number. This is I just don't remember the phone number. They said, nope, sorry, I got to keep charging you. So this went on for 2 years. Eventually I moved out of the country and I changed all of my banking relationships. I got rid of all the French banking. I had to sever the umbilical cord, all contact to France. And as far as I know, they're not charging me anymore. But, you know, I'm sure that they'll figure something out. It's worse than AOL. Remember, AOL was charging those dead people their monthly charge.
Actually, speaking of this passive-aggressive committing suicide, maybe we should issue our own threat to do so. If you do not donate in the ResonanceFM.com fundraiser. Now, there are some little commercials they've made for this effect. Mm. But as I cannot access their intranet, I can't download those things. So right now, either you're about to hear one of these or you're about to hear us continuing our conversation, all depending on whether or not I was able to get onto the internet.
Hi, my name is Stuart Lee, and I'm a sexless, middle-aged married man and stand-up comedian, and I love Resonance FM. On St. Valentine's Day 2012, Resonance 104.4 FM launched a week-long on-air fundraiser. London's finest radio station needs your help. From February the 14th until February the 19th, Resonance FM will be running an on-air auction of unique, desirable items and novel experiences. Dig deep and help keep Resonance FM on air. Please, it's the only thing I like listening to, really.
So, are you hearing us now, or did you hear the jingle?
Yeah, well, people support Resonance with their donations, and they get a good deal in return. There's no better station to listen to while you're sniffing glue than Resonance 104.4, that's for sure. And this is what a lot of people in the UK have come to realize. When they're getting drunk on cheap booze or getting arrested or spending the night in jail, no better radio station than Resonance FM. It'll get you through the night. Now, also, you know, I did a benefit show for Resonance last year. We were at the King's Head. We raised £1,000, and then Richard ran off with it to Bermuda with some shiksa he found in the lobby of the King's Head, and we haven't seen him since. That's the problem with Resonance. If you give them too much money, they just disappear. You know, you gotta drip them. Put them on the drip feed with a few pounds every few days. Otherwise, you end up like Richard. He's in Bermuda. He's getting his foot massaged by some Thai hooker. And that's it. We won't see him for years now.
That's not true. He's over in Bermuda making a special podcast for Resonance FM, The Sounds of Peeling Potatoes in Bermudan Phone Boxes.
Oh, okay, so it's a repeat of last year's show.
No, he didn't do it in Bermuda.
No?
You know, peeling a potato in a Bermudan phone box might sound a little bit different than the peeling potatoes in a Finnish phone box.
Well, vegetables, you know, there's not enough shows about vegetables on radio stations around the world. And clearly that vegetable radio programming gap is being filled here at Resonance FM. And at the end of this show, I think we're going to do our own special ode to the zucchini, which is the king of all vegetables in terms of potential to turn a zucchini into a radio show, programming, zucchini programming. It's known as the programming of all vegetables. Programming king of all vegetables is the zucchini.
You do like your zucchini, or what do they call it? Courgette, right? Or no, eggplant or something. Anyway,
yes, another 5 years in France and we'll learn some of these words.
No, I'm picking up all of them. Some of them are Italian, some of them are American, some of them are French.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to say is, yeah, you know, many people don't know, though.
I got another complaint here. These light bulbs in France burn out after 3 months. I mean,
No. It's not the light bulb, Max. It's the electrical system. You know how you often get shocked here?
Yeah.
Like a lot of the light switches, doesn't matter what side of town, rich area, poor area, really expensive area, all the switches, you often have to put electrical tape over the light switch because you get shocked. And you tell your landlord or you tell, you know, officials and they say, oh, whatever, I'm not going to fix it, I have my lunch. But, you know, these days most people, this is the importance of Resonance and why you need to donate some money. Just take out a fiver, a tenner, a twentier, a thirtier. Are there 30-pound notes? No, I don't think so. But, you know, most people buy their food at somewhere like Tesco, and it's already peeled potatoes. And
they miss out on the sound of the actual potato peeling.
Yeah, I grew up having to peel potatoes all the time. So I know what the sound is.
Saskatchewan somewhere, Canadian potato farming.
Why are you saying
that before he became a professional ice hockey player? Or is that figure skating?
What are you talking about?
Potato farmers in Canada. They're a rough lot. You know?
I'm an Irish potato farmer, okay?
Okay.
Yes, so most people don't know the sound of peeling potatoes. And it's even hard to find those old-fashioned potatoes that had the skin. You know, everything is all those newfangled new potatoes that you just boil with the skin on.
Yeah, I think I think what you're looking at are not potatoes, actually. Those are leeks.
I know a potato when I know a potato.
No,
okay,
you're missing its skin. You're looking at a bunch of leeks. Okay,
no.
There's no such thing as a potato with no skin.
There are with a little tiny. It's such a. It's like a really fine, tiny fabric gauze of a skin.
A fabric was like a Muppet show with pretend puppet potatoes that you're mistaking for reality. A potato has a skin, and sometimes it's a russet colored as a new potato, but a classic schnickaka. Schniggy potato, it has a little, you know, it's a potato, it's a freaking potato, and nothing could be easier than a potato. Now, you're saying it has no skin. I'm saying that's not a potato, that's a leek.
No, it's not true. You're just missing, this is disinformation that you're passing on here.
It's like you're looking at a French fry, and you're saying, my God, what happened to the shape of this potato? Okay, it's not a potato, it's a processed potato into a French fry. You see, that's a different thing than a potato.
Well, you brought up the Muppets, and many here in Britain might not have seen this, but what do you think of this whole political spat going on between Fox News and the Muppets and that whole press conference with Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog?
Well, it was a very interesting press conference, but and let me get this straight. So the Fox News people claim that the Muppets were a right-wing agenda. What were they saying about
that? They said the Muppets were a communist plot, okay? And you know, the Fox News audience were, like, shrieking, running around America that it's a communist plot to, you know, get us off oil. The Muppets were anti-oil.
Were the Muppets anti-oil?
I don't know. It was some stupid thing. And then Kermit at this press conference said he wasn't against oil. In fact,
so Kermit had a press conference.
Kermit and Miss Piggy.
And Fox was there covering it.
Well, I think they were having a, you know, it was, Fox had made it into a tabloid story because, you know, Kermit and Miss Piggy were just holding a press conference to promote their new film.
Yeah.
But all the journalists attending wanted to ask about this Fox News thing instead.
Oh, right. Well, this is why Russia Today, or RT, is now the most watched network in the world. Because these other networks in the U.S., like Fox or Channel 4 or the BBC in the U.K., they become such a clownish servitude to the status quo and the top 1% of the top 1% that people just can't watch them anymore. They can't tell the difference between a Miss Piggy and a Bill O'Reilly or Jon Snow and Kermit the Frog. It's all the same Muppet mentality. Whereas RT is actually going places covering things like the anti-SOPA, anti-PIPA, anti-ACTA activism. They were there in Stockholm when there was a huge anti-ACTA protest. No other network in the world was covering it from Stockholm. We were in Stockholm. RT was in Stockholm. They're all over the world covering anti-ACTA. Now, of course, this is a musicians cooperative radio station in residence, 104.4. So the subject of copyright is of interest to these people. Isn't that true, Stacey?
Well, in fact, our last week's Truth About Markets from Stockholm, in which we interviewed Rick Falkvinja, that was one of our most listened to episodes ever. People really loved it.
And how do we know it was most listened to?
Because I can tell.
You can sense it.
Well, no.
You have no
metrics, I know.
Though. No data.
I do.
What? Okay, what data?
I have data. It was.
Oh, you have data. I'm not talking about a character from Star Trek. I'm saying the thing, the numerical stuff that comes out at the end of a query that you read and come up with some numerical conclusion with, not just a character in a space odyssey.
Do you people see what I have to go through every morning? This is how we negotiate our coffee quest in the morning.
Coffee quest. That's interesting, isn't it?
Well, that's one thing you could say. The one thing, I've never had a problem obtaining coffee here. I never get the feeling that the guy is about to commit suicide from my asking for a cafe noisette in the morning.
No, not usually. But half the time they do give you some attitude like, oh my God, I can't believe you just asked me for a cafe like the past 10,000 people have asked me every single morning for the past 10 years. How dare you say exactly what it is everyone else has said here for years and years and years. I am incredulous.
They do occasionally wonder, you know, you go in at 7 in the morning and you're saying, I'd like a little espresso. And they said, oh, would you like a glass of wine with that as well? Or some other hard liquor.
Calvados in the morning. It's really good with your coffee, a little, you know, 7 a.m. You know, I notice wherever I go, whatever city I'm in, all over the world, that the people who are, like, let's call them blue-collar people, they recognize me from the Kaiser Report. The white people who have the white-collar jobs, mostly they don't recognize me from the Kaiser Report, which leads me to conclude that the proletarian revolution is on the march and about to kick the butt of the people at the white-collar, you know, the bankster level of management is about to severely get curtailed.
Max, that's not true. I've observed the observers. So when we went down to Wall Street and walked around all that, you know, heavily fortified police state section of New York City, I saw them shutting up the gates, pulling down the windows, and they all those bankers definitely recognized you and were like, "Oh my God, let's get out of the way."
I didn't notice it. I noticed the taxi drivers in New York and sanitation workers and people working in the delis would be, "Oh, wow, I watch your show." But the people working at banks and lawyers and those folks, no. They live in a bubble. This is why they're vulnerable.
Well, in fact, it could be the opposite in a way. Because, Max, what do you think about this Fox Business News story? This was pretty shocking, speaking of numbers, at the end, you know, those little figures at the end of a query, as you say. Fox Business News, Rupert Murdoch's venture to compete in that whole business space. Well, we absolutely, the Kaiser Report, devastated them. Now, their numbers, their average viewing numbers in prime time in 2011 was 54,000 people. Of that, less than 24,000 was ever in the 24 to 54 age group. Everybody was a retired person. Now, their worst programs, the more political the program was, so they were just trying to replicate their hyper-partisan, you know, red team, Republican team sort of thing on Fox Business News. And apparently those were the programs that actually got tuned out the most. Investors and bankers and guys like that didn't want to listen to that. Now, is this because bias can be very expensive in the markets?
Well, the whole programming is trying to mimic our show, and everyone who tries to copy our show fails. Because they don't understand what makes our show popular. So here you have Rupert Murdoch. I mean, here's another failure. He bought the Wall Street Journal at the top, lost billions. He bought MySpace at a totally inappropriate time, lost billions. He was caught phone hacking into people's phones all over the world, including the UK and the US. Complete, completely breaking the law. He still can't make money. Here's a guy who breaks the law. You still can't make money. At least with some of these Wall Street bankers, when they break the law, they make money. I mean, Jamie Dimon or Lloyd Blankfein, they break the law, they make money. Rupert Murdoch can't even make money breaking the law. He's the worst criminal ever. He's never been a businessman. He's always been a political hack. But he's not even a businessman. He can't even make money stealing money. And that's sad.
Well, but the thing is that he's had a monopoly up until now. You know, the internet is really exploding with content and all sorts of alternatives to those monopolists. And I think that's why Murdoch is now on Twitter, of course, pushing and pushing and pushing two things. He's pushing ACTA and SOPA and those sort of, basically shutting down competition.
Yeah.
And the other thing he's pushing is Rick Santorum and his medievalism and his, you know, let's be... Let you little people be anti-intellectual, anti-science. Of course, the likes of Murdoch and his family are not stupid. They're not ignorant, you know, I was going to say a bad word, but they're not ignorant bleeps. Mm. But that's what they push from their Fox News. And they tried it with Fox Business News. But, you know, you soon become an extinct banker if you are only willing and able to look at one set of data, and you refuse to believe the numbers of the whole situation.
Yeah, well, this is why this year I'm transitioning from being mostly anti-banker to being mostly anti-Hollywood. So I'm moving from kill banksters to kill Hollywood. Because the era of potential bank reform is over. The bank reform is lost. That fight's done. And we got to move on. So in the area of Murdoch, who's part of Hollywood, I mean, look at this latest technology of Tribbler. Tribbler is now filling the gap where other file sharing services have been locked up due to the Hollywood cartel's inquisition, their witch hunt into anyone who wants to create and distribute content outside of their monopoly. Now there's Tribbler, which is a new, it could be the final nail in the Hollywood's coffin, because there's the, explain to them how it works, Petey Pooh.
Well, but first I want to remind you that the guy, one of the guys behind it, contacted you about 3 years ago about Pirate My Film.
Okay, who was that?
The guy from the Netherlands. It was a, or maybe Belgium. I forget, the professor, some professor who's who was involved in it, and his students were involved in it. He was like, he's a technologist.
Yeah, I'm trying to find his name. Yeah. We'll go visit him. We'll go visit him. We got to go back to Amsterdam soon. I think we should just move to Amsterdam because
I
can't stand France anymore. The place is only good for cheese and dog poop.
And beef. You know, this is the only place you can actually, when you go to the McDonald's here, it's not the same sort of hormone, corn-fed McDonald's, you know, they actually use beef from France, so it's actually higher grade stuff than like the most expensive stuff you can buy in America.
Yeah, that's great, but I don't want to live here anymore.
Anyway, Tribbler. Tribbler is, it's well, it's kind of a P2P system. This is where all these things are moving, and it's called Innovation. Okay, I know that may get me arrested for actually saying that word. But innovation, okay? You set up barriers, you set up obstacles. Without mother invention, where would we be? Conjunction, junction, something like that, as the little children's cartoon thing went. So it's kind of like P2P, but without the vulnerabilities. So when all these sites were being taken down, they were in the background for years developing this system whereby basically, it's like those BitTorrent systems, but without the vulnerability of having just one site like the Pirate Bay or Mega Upload be taken down. It's, it uses like this magnet technology sort of stuff that basically it's able to share files without...
Right, so yeah, in the case of the, let's say, Napster model and everything post-Napster, there was one central location that indexed links. And so by knocking down that central link index, you knock down the network.
Yes.
Now, here with Tribbler, every time you download a file, you download the entire index as well. So everyone has a copy of the index. So if you were to knock down any single node in the network, it doesn't make any difference because it's infinitely replicable with the, all the information that's in every file that's shared amongst those who are file sharing. So... there's no way to get rid of it without actually taking down the entire internet.
Yes. And it's also, it's now moving into a place where it's very, everything could be put on a little tiny, tiny thumb drive, i.e. just less than a 60 megabyte sort of thumb drive. The entirety of Pirate Bay, for example, is moving to, and you can go to boingboing.net, a local, you know, website. And they offer a link to it where you can download the entirety of the Pirate Bay. All those thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of links. They're now moving it all to magnetic, which is kind of like this whole Bitcoin thing. It's just little, it's compressed. It's much smaller, so it also can hide and travel easier.
Yeah, well, that's right. It's... So what do the musicians think about all this, I wonder? Because, as you see, I learned something up in Stockholm. The average musician's wages have, or the, you know, the money they make is up 114% since P2P file swapping started. And I think that's the information I get from people I talk to, musicians have never made more money because they've gotten rid of the middlemen. They got rid of the record labels. They've gotten rid of all the toll booths. Now, musicians and artists. So it goes completely against what the RIAA said, that this is horrible for musicians. No, it's been fantastic for musicians. Or you have a situation like Madonna is doing a show, and you buy a ticket to the show, and she gives away free a copy of the DVD.
Of the CD. Or you can, or she'll send you a digital download. So, I mean, David Bowie was 15 years ahead of everybody on that. That's what he said 15 years ago, is that we'll just have to give away the music and make money elsewhere, like performance and merchandising.
Yeah, he also did something smart, is that he packaged all the future revenues from his back catalog of music and sold it as a music collateralized bond right before the income from the catalog crashed due to the emergence of P2P file swapping. So he saw that within 5 or 10 years, his income from his back catalog would be down 70 or 80%. So he sold forward that 100% value for 5 or 10 years and got $50 million up front, and which was one of the smartest things any musician or banker has done in the last 20 years.
I actually just saw your CNBC interview from about 15 years ago, in which you basically took credit for that, and CNBC was laughing, saying, "Are you taking credit, Max, for David Bowie's idea?"
Yeah, well, we on my site, Hollywood Stock Exchange, we listed a David Bowie bond paying 8% with a 6% yield, and the David Bowie bonds that were sold were yielding 6% and were rated A. So I already created, I had it online trading virtually before he did it. So yes, it's true. Whether he directly stole the idea from me, his people, or not, I confronted them on it. They refused to comment on it, but clearly, I have done it again.
Anyway, so one of the things that this mega upload story, as Rick Falkving said in last week's show, was that they were offering a new service called Megabox. And mega upload was a huge part of the hip-hop community. And remember, there was that famous song from a lot of famous rap guys who made a song for mega upload, basically promoting it. There was a bunch of famous rap stars involved with the company. And this mega box was going to be a service for these rap stars to collect 90% of their revenues rather than the like 10% that they get from the record companies.
Ad revenues.
Yeah, they were going to collect 90% of the ad revenues. That was their business model.
Right. And Mega Upload is in the top 100 or 200 most visited sites on the internet.
I think Rick Falkving said it was something like 4% of all internet traffic was Mega Upload.
So they're generating, and the company has generated over $100 million a year in ad revenue.
Yeah.
So a hip-hop star comes up with a record, he puts it on this Mega Box, and they get 90% of the revenue, so they could easily make $1 million or $2 million in revenue on that song without paying all the intermediaries, all the business people, all the record labels, all the promoters, all the creative people. All that stuff gets disintermediated out of existence. It just goes right into the pocket of the musicians, where it should be.
Well, exactly. And that entire community, of course, is very important to the revenues, what remain to the record industry.
Right, so they got this guy who's a German who was living in New Zealand, whose businesses were operating on servers in
Hong Kong,
violating U.S. law. So they were able to extrajudicially arrest him with a SWAT team in a most like a treating him like a bin Laden situation.
Well, yeah, it was the anti-terror police, and it was about 80 in total, but at his house, I think it was something like 30 anti-terror police with machine guns.
Yeah, and this is because the RIAA, Recording Industry Association of America, and the MPAA, Motion Pictures, don't want to compete, and they don't want to innovate. And they are killing off the competition. But this is interesting to me, is that groups like Anonymous or in the Swedish Pirate Party, which now there's a Pirate Party in Greece, the global emergence of the Pirate Party, there's a UK Pirate Party, the emergence of Tribbler, and all these P2P files. There is a way to kill Hollywood. Whereas, getting back to my original notion about the banking situation, there is no way to kill the bankers. They won that war. The MF Global situation, I think, should tell everybody that the war is over. The bankers won. They can just take money out of your account with impunity. There's no laws against it. There's not even any investigation into it. Mm-hmm. So the war is over on that front. We lost. They can steal your money at any time. But the Kill Hollywood war, I think there might still be a chance to win this one.
Yeah, they can't kill your ideas yet, so, or your freedom to create and share.
Well, the hackers control the digital space still, whereas bankers, the bankers control the money space. There's no analog. There's no similar group. I mean, the crash J.P. Morgan buy silver campaign could have destabilized J.P. Morgan and put it out of business had everyone simply bought an ounce of silver. But once silver got up to $50 an ounce, then it traded down to $26, $27 an ounce, which for a period of 2 or 3 months scared people, whereas those who have been buying it since we've been recommending it on the show since it was $9 an ounce, of course, it was meaningless. But there's such a there's no conviction in the people trying to destroy the banks. Whereas the people trying to destroy Hollywood, there is true conviction, and I'm going to put my money with them now.
Well, there are innovators, and it's hard to stop that innovation. For example, in the whole, basically our global system, you look at it, it was stopped by monopolists, our whole infrastructure systems, especially in America, okay? Not so much out the rest of the world, but the big oil and big cars, those two cartels stopped innovation completely in their tracks in America. Most Americans are heavily propagandized, so they will never, ever see that they are trapped in a 100-and-something-year-old combustion engine system that is so archaic. But the same thing here with innovation that they're trying, you know, they don't. Rupert Murdoch does not want you to be able to create content. He wants only his $100 million films mm-hmm. to be made and seen. He doesn't want you making something better for $1,000. No. That would be capitalism and innovation. But the problem is that all of these in this space, the brains and wit and the ability of these, the hacker type dudes to think faster and create faster. And they are a hive that work together and create the new technologies very fast together. Yeah. So, you know, while all of this aggressive anti-terror legislation and activity has been going on against the likes of BitTorrents and stuff like that, they've already created a new technology and software and things like that that will go, that's already the next level. So they're much faster than these old dinosaurs can even think or understand.
Well, they've demonstrated already a level of altruism, which is key in this fight. So with open source and the creation of Linux, for example, open source software, which is already almost, 15, 16, 17 years old now, they have been transformative of the entire industry. And P2P file swapping, similarly, now it's gone very political, which is, up until recently, wasn't all that political. But when Wikipedia went dark for a day to protest SOPA PIPA, they completely got the law put on the slow lane in Washington, and it shows tremendous power. Now, you just don't see that in the people protesting against bankers and banksters. They don't even understand the issues, and they don't believe that they're going to win, so they're not going to win. Now, it's going to be interesting to see, because I'm supposed to be on Alex Jones' radio show next week, Stacey, Monday, and I'm going to try to pivot on the show away from what I usually talk about on that show, which is bankers, to this Kill Hollywood idea.
Well, so, I think he's very behind that. Now, I would say he's more right-wing, more the right side of the political spectrum, and there aren't many who are against these ACTA, SOPA things, not as much as on the progressive side, say. But he's made it an issue. He realizes the threat to his system. I mean, he doesn't work within the mainstream media system.
He doesn't work on the torrent system either, though.
Yeah, exactly. But he does provide a radio show that it's do-it-yourself. It's a do-it-yourself radio show, and he has an audience of 2 million people, which is as I just said, on Fox News, they were getting 54,000 people. So, you know, that Alex Jones is a definite competitive threat to Rupert Murdoch. And Rupert Murdoch definitely would want Alex Jones shut down.
Mm, right. Well, the idea of Kill Hollywood, as it's being bandied about, has not been talked about on his show. So I'm gonna try to bring that, introduce that, and focus on that in a big way. And make that, you know, kind of the theme of the year, because I think that's something. I mean, even Alex Jones last year, he had a very good campaign where he had search words on Google and was able to get his ideas at the top of the search results of Google, which then got picked up by Drudge Report. So he was hacking and using the digital platforms very successfully. Then they changed their algorithms, I guess, so now that was not possible. You weren't able to manipulate the search results anymore.
Did you just disappear into the void? Mm. Yeah, well, that's the case. And what was I going to say about that, continuing on that Kill Hollywood theme?
Well, we have also one of the seed capital firms. I think we talked about this last week, called Y Combinator. They put out an essay saying they're going to start investing in companies that are kill Hollywood. They just invested in a company a couple of days ago called Crowd Tilt. So this is a company that'll do crowdfunding for very small events like birthdays and things that people want to just raise money for, birthdays and things like that. So I guess that's the crowdfunding, of course, is a big part of this move away from the current model, the Hollywood model. You know, in our piratemyfilm.com, which is legal piracy crowdfunded, you know, we're getting more and more action on that site every day. So
you know, we're also getting BitPay involved in that Bitcoin. Now I know there are lots of people that have you know, the propaganda of the banking system is part of their DNA, so they can't help it and they're shrieking right now. But we will still have the option that you could pay via PayPal. You're free to give as much as you want to PayPal and have your, you know, your funds unwound all these months later. But for others, some people like to pay frictionlessly, with instantly, with real digital cash. So, and also if you want to shriek about flipping houses and flipping coins and flipping currency, you know, do your speculation on your own time and your own side. We don't really care about that. We're not speculators. We're innovators and doers. Okay. So, I'm tired of people responding to Bitcoin as if like, how am I going to flip it for 30 times its value that I bought it for? You know, you're just a diseased mind. That's what you need to check your own mind.
You say that because you bought Bitcoin recently at the all-time low, but
I don't pay attention to it.
No, you're the Warren Buffett. You're the Warren Buffett of digital currencies. So, but no, Bitcoin is the same as Western Union. It's a way to send money. And it just happens to also be a currency, but that's not what we use it for at Pirate My Film. We just use it to move money. It's the cheapest way to move money. It's way cheaper than PayPal. So it doesn't make any sense to use PayPal because they take all the frickin' money in fees. You know, Bitcoin is a lot cheaper. It's anonymous.
It's not totally anonymous. It's not 100% anonymous. So people who think, oh, you know, that is used by the likes of Rupert Murdoch, who says it's for drug dealers and stuff like that. You can, it's only anonymous if the two parties agree it's anonymous and all that kind of stuff. But it is frictionless, it's costless. And that's one of the things you always see about as we're moving to the cost point is moving closer and closer to zero. You always see in all these articles in the mainstream is like how to get, you know, micro payments to work. Well, these technologists looked at that issue and they've delivered a solution, which is it's free. There's no cost to it.
Right. So one nice thing about it also on the site, Pirate My Film, is that the debits occur automatically Now, we had a problem with PayPal because PayPal required the person collecting the funds to individually check off each of the contributions that were coming in. So if you had 100 people put up $5, the producer had to check off 100 times. And then, you know, it takes pretty time consuming. And that's just the way PayPal is. It's not very robust. It's not very, you know, thought out. I mean, it's kind of an old technology, a bit of a hack. So with Bitcoin, with BitPay, it just automatically debits the money. So it's going to be great for the producers, the owners of these projects who are collecting the funds. Also, when we get into a position of paying dividends on these projects, of course, Bitcoin makes that feasible as well because it's so cheap and easy to use.
That's right.
And we have a new ad for BitPay on MaxKaiser.com. What are we leaving?
Yeah. What time is it?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know what
You're
time
the
it
timekeeper.
Is. That seems to be...
Oh, it's time to go. 11:31.
It's 11:31.
How much time left on this show?
There's only about 10 minutes, and it's all going to be ads pushing you to donate to Resonance.
Oh, they're going to put in ads so we're finished?
No.
We're going to keep talking?
It's going to be you, Max Kaiser. Max Kaiser.
I'm Max Kaiser, yeah.
I'm Stacey Herbert, and we're going to say, hey, you chums, put down your bong and donate money. You could, you know, instead of buying that... ounce of weed?
Yeah. Well, that you'll never get money that way. Because
no
one's going to forego an ounce of weed to give money to residents. That's never going to happen. You got to give them some other motivation. I think they...
Encourage them to smoke an ounce of weed.
Yeah, exactly. You get higher when you listen to residents. However high you get smoking dope listening to the show, you're going to get a lot higher. Now imagine if the show was off the air, you'd be back listening to your parents upstairs fighting and your little brother playing with some toys... next to you in a most aggravating manner. You see, in order to tune all that out, you've got to really ramp up the effects of your ganja. And only listening to Resonance gives you accelerated ganja effects. You see? So that's why you give a few dollars to Resonance for accelerated ganja. Accelerated, the accelerant. Resonance is an accelerant. It turns cheap dope into expensive dope. Now, if that's not a good reason to give money, then you're not high enough.
Yeah, so just contribute 10 pounds, and that will accelerate...
Smoke more dope!
No, so we'll be back in a few minutes, but it'll sound like just that second from you, okay?
I love Resonance FM. On St. Valentine's Day 2012, Resonance 104.4 FM will launch a week-long on-air fundraiser, and London's finest radio station needs your help. From the 14th to the 19th of February, Resonance FM will be running an on-air auction of novel experiences and unique and desirable items. Get ready to tune in, dig deep, and keep Resonance 104.4 FM on air.
Oh my God. So, Max... I found all the audio content. I'm able to download it. And just so you know, no France Telecom workers committed suicide getting this work to you. And so we're going to play a few little clips here.
Oh, that's so fantastic. I guess it's time to say goodbye then.
Okay, it's time to say goodbye. So you got to say your special little goodbye.
Okay, then. Goodbye, y'all.